May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, first of all, I'd like to congratulate all of you who made it through the marathon gauntlet. Truly, you are devoted, or else you were able to get by the VGD somehow or other. But either way, it's wonderful to see you all today. And it is a great day. It is Christ the King Sunday, a perfect day for baptizing and confirming. And I see the candidates are sitting here looking a little nervous, and that's good. So my name is Pierre Whalen. If you don't know that, I'm the bishop in charge of the Episcopal churches in Europe, and St. James is certainly one of the crown jewels of our diocese, and it's always wonderful to be back. And especially today, we're going to do not only baptism and confirmations, which are very important, but also giving thanks for the renewal of the stained glass and the sacristy and the sacristan's house. So it's quite a service, quite a day, and I'm glad to be here. Christ the King Sunday. It's a relatively new feast. It's the last Sunday of the church year. Next Sunday we start all over again. Happy New Year, it's Advent 1. But today is the closing out of a year of reflection on the story of Jesus Christ and his people. The Roman Catholic Church actually developed this idea of Christ the King Sunday. It's about 80 years old, I think. And in the revision of the prayer book in 1979, I think some people still call it the new prayer book, even though it's getting pretty old, like me. They decided that we should pick up on this because it's a perfect sort of capstone to all the rest of the work that we've done spiritually throughout the year. So, Christ the King, what kind of king? The gospel has the well-known story of the sheep and the goats. But you'll notice that the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, Matthew says, and then the king speaks to the assembled people before him. And it says he separates them out like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. So during the daytime, the sheep and the goats can run together, but before nightfall, the shepherd takes the sheep to the sheepfold and lets the goats continue to wander around in the pasture. It's not a very flattering image. The good people are sheep, and the bad people are goats. What differentiates them is, he says, when I was hungry and thirsty and naked and sick and in prison and a stranger, you didn't take care of me. And did you notice that both groups ask, when did we see you? Hungry, thirsty, naked. Did you catch that? Both groups are curious as to what he's talking about. How did we see you, Jesus Christ? And in both cases, he says, if you did it or did it not, to the least of these members of my family, you didn't do it to me. So what does that mean? First of all, it's clear that being a faithful person is about doing something and not just being something. That it is, in fact, taking care of other people and the whole creation, in fact. And we're baptizing people and confirming people who will join with us in making a promise, a series of promises. We call it the baptismal covenant. And one of those promises is to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself. So this whole sheep and goats thing is about loving your neighbor or not. and specifically the neighbor is Christ. I have to tell you, I find it kind of hard living in Paris to constantly being accosted by people who want money. Some of them are, I hate to say it this way, they are professional beggars, often women sitting on the street with a baby, and not far away is a man, usually with a shaven head, leaning on his Mercedes, watching. So this is an organized kind of begging. And I wonder, should I support this or not? And then there are other people who are just there because they live under a bridge and they have no means of support and they're asking for money. And then there are some more aggressive people. What do we do with those? Well, according to Jesus, we're meeting him there in the woman with her baby being pushed out onto the sidewalk to beg. We're meeting him there in the person living under the bridge. And I find that very hard to deal with. I've been to, unfortunately, lately, more than one refugee camp. And here are people who are hungry and thirsty and naked and strangers. And what do you do for them when you're confronted with them in front of you, around you, surrounding you, and touching you and saying, help, help, help me get a visa, help, help. So I think that this lesson from the gospel is a very real one for us all. And how we respond to it, I think, is also something that marks us out. You may have heard in the letter, reading from the book of Ezekiel, that the fat and the strong are going to be on the receiving end of God's wrath, whereas the weak and the skinny will be lifted up and fed and taken care of. It's kind of the same idea. But how do we live this? Well, first of all, who are the members of Jesus' family? He says, if you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. I don't think he's pointing to a third group in the parable. It's just two groups of people. The least of these members of my family. It'd be easy to think they were just Christians. I've been privileged to lead an association in France that helps people from Iraq and more recently other countries who are personally threatened with death for reasons of their faith. And we help these people come to France and get asylum. So far it's about 4,000. And I've been criticized, not in Europe but elsewhere, because we've not only helped Christians with this, we've helped Muslims and Yazidis, a few Yazidis. And it's like, well, shouldn't they take care of themselves? You're supposed to be taking care of Christians. In other words, members of Jesus' family, as if being part of the church is the entire family of Jesus. And I don't think that's possible to believe that. In the creed, which we will say, we always say that all things were made through him, through Jesus Christ, through the Word of God. All things were made. That's everybody sitting in this room. That's the Word of God to each one of us. We are God's children. We are God's handiwork. And therefore, we are members of Jesus' family. So it's not simply our own that we're going to have to take care of. And the way that this comes about, this claim upon our lives, is in the heart of Christ's ministry to us. Christ the King sits on a throne made of two pieces of wood and five nails. That is where he rules. Christ came specifically to die on a cross. I think in our day and age, we want to kind of downplay the cross. But the point is, We come into this world hungry and thirsty and naked. And how do we leave it? In exactly the same state. Each one of us is at a point in our lives when we will be in ultimate weakness, whether being born or dying. Riches, power, beauty, all that stuff fades away. It's the illusion that we think that that's important. What's important is that there is a time in each one of our lives when we are hungry, thirsty, naked, sick, maybe in prison, and certainly a stranger. And so Christ came and died on the cross to join our desolation, our weakness, our ultimate helplessness before the forces of life, both wickedness and the natural forces of life and death. If God had not come in Christ, there could be no claim on us to take care of other people. But it is at the heart of the gospel that God came to be with us, to join in our own pain and suffering and desolation, our weakness, our hunger, our thirst, so that we might be joined to God in it and therefore be able to live through it and to live. I mean, there is the unrighteous who go to eternal fire in the gospel today. I don't think we should focus too much on that, because the other side is the other ones go to eternal life. And that's what we're being given in order to overcome all of those things that make us weak and helpless and strangers. So when Jesus says, when you did it to the least of these, that's you and me too, because Christ did it for us first. So being baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as these young people will be in a few minutes, really a few minutes, is to be joined in the death of Christ on the cross where he reigns. It's to be buried with Christ in his tomb, and it is to rise with Christ in his resurrection. And for those who are being confirmed, it is to renew their renunciation of evil and their trust in Christ's grace and love. And then for all of us to one more time attempt to live the baptismal covenant, that we do believe in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that we do devote ourselves to the life of the community of faith, that we do repent of our sin, and we will repent again, that we will proclaim by word and example this good news that God has come to join our lives, that we might join God's life. And then we will seek and serve Christ in all persons. And we will strive for justice and peace, enabled by all that we have already promised to do, to respect the dignity of every single human being. Then we can be a sheep and not a goat. What a wonderful, wonderful choice to make, because God's already chosen for you and for me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.